Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by The Core Show. It's another show here on the Frog Pants Network, all about Heroes of the Storm. It stars me, John Jagger, and Beau Schwartz. Every Tuesday, we do it live at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, or you can catch it on the podcast feed. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. So search for Core, or go to frogpants.com/core. And you'll like it. It's in-depth coverage of Heroes of the Storm. You know, one of those other Blizzard games. That's frogpants.com/core. Today on The Instance, we talk deep and hard about the state of PvP in Legion and the beta and what we expect from the launch. Holinka has lots to say in their recent Q&A. We also talk about class trials and why you're going to want one and why we think everyone will get one. Also, the action cam and distance cameras are being changed. Ooh, lots of controversy being sticked up there. Sticked up there? That's not the way I meant to say that. Also, you can buy WoW-themed beer now in China. More about Gul'dan, Ariel, some other heroes updates, and Overwatch gets competitive mode. All that and more coming up on The Instance.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 452 for the 1st of July, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by everyone's favorite European, the one, the only, the not leaving the EU, the Patrick, the Beja. Hello. What's going on?
Right. Now I'm the only European on the show. I mean, I don't know if you can say European Unioner or something like that, but definitely. We were joking before the show. Yeah. I think in that vote for the Brexit, they should have tied it with if they vote leave, then Terpstra also has to leave the instance.
Okay.
And they would never have voted leave.
Yeah.
You know, that would have fixed everything.
We would have fixed everything. Certainly, we would have gotten those 30% of people who weren't never voted. They'd have gotten out and rocked the vote, as we say here in the U.S. Also joining us all the way from Texas, another place that always threatens to leave but never does, why it's Dills. Hello, Dills.
Hi. So you guys saying that Fraud Pants and the Diamond Group could have fixed this vote? All right, that's it. We're going to stop there, though. We're not going any further.
No, but that was totally worth saying.
We're done.
Well done. Yeah. Well done. And by the way, congratulations to everybody sitting here for winning awards. That's all we're going to say about that.
In a completely rule-respecting way, no matter what idiots say.
Absolutely. It's all we ever will need to say. And if this show, of course, is a legacy show, so the instance is not up for one.
We weren't even up for the award.
No.
Although two-time winners in the past.
That's
right.
That's right. It's good to be back, everybody. Thank you for being here. There was no show last week. I had stuff come up, but we're glad to be back. It's funny, though, even though we're back, Terpster's got stuff, so he couldn't be here. It's been a relatively quiet time for all, I think, all Blizzard games, with a couple of exceptions. Which we'll get to today. I know, listen.
Is there ever really a quiet time ever again for all Blizzard games?
A little. You could argue this week. I mean, there's some great Q&As about Legion, which we're going to talk about. There was some big patch for Overwatch. It was pretty rad. Heroes has got some nice little sneak preview stuff going on and some pretty decent things for me personally happening. But, you know, it's not like there was any big, huge breaking, you know.
Well, there wasn't a release, but I would argue there were a lot of things happening.
Well, good. I'm glad you're arguing that, because we're going to jump right in. Let's argue about the state of PvP in Legion, something, I guess, Dills, you've been messing about in there quite a bit in the beta.
I wouldn't say quite a bit, but all of my PTR messing has been done. All of my beta messing around has been done in PvP. Mm. I didn't even log in one time until they put in the PvP stuff that I could then go in, which basically you just get a max level character who's already kitted out with a certain amount of gear.
Yeah.
And everyone has the same gear, and then you just go fight. It's awesome.
So are you experiencing then the things? So one of the big systems that we can talk about here that came from the Q&A and also just is in the beta in general is the way that you are getting loot now is no longer grinding out a bunch of currency, going to find somebody to buy something from, and then getting your gear that way. The new way is you are going to get drops with every win that you have in the various PvP modes in the game, battlegrounds, arenas, and so on, skirmishes, whatever. And are you experiencing that? Have you seen stuff drop? Does it feel good? Like, what is that experience like?
I actually don't think that they're doing that unless they recently added it, because when I went in, you basically just did the, like, everybody just has the same gear. And there's no real, we're not really in there testing the gear stuff, but it may have changed.
It's also normalized, right?
Yeah. Everyone has the same.
Oh, so they're just okay. So this is just part of their whole balance.
But it doesn't matter anyway, right, anymore, because yeah. So I need to log in more recently, because now what I've actually been doing, which is weird, is I've been playing live WoW.
Whoa, what?
Like a whole bunch, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What's happening?
My Legion beta days, I did a bunch of stuff right when first hit with that PvP. And I will say I agree with some of their statements on balance for sure. But I also attributed it at the time to, I don't know what the hell's going on anyway. So I can't tell if there's real balance issues or not. But it certainly felt like Demon Hunters came along and killed me real easy. But no, I've been playing a whole bunch of live WoW. So what happened was the movie and news and things, more stuff being told to us and just getting that excitement level going. So logged in and was like, you know what? I still haven't completed my legendary or flying in Draenor. Let's go. And so I've been doing all that stuff, and I'm actually really, really close.
I should do that.
Yeah.
I'm really close to the flying in Draenor. I only need to do maybe another week of dailies. And that's it. And I'll be all set.
Yeah.
And I've been doing alts and running dungeons and playing the auction house again. It's like, as soon as you start doing it, all of a sudden you're just all in again.
You're back in. Yeah. So do you do your garrison, or do you just not even bother?
I do garrison missions, naval missions, and I'm out.
Yeah.
You're
not hanging around for stuff to finish. You're not checking in at all the time.
Yeah, I'm not running around, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. Because all I need so for my legendary stuff is the Hellfire Peninsula crap, which is, like, you know, pretty easy to get. So, or Hellfire Citadel.
Yeah.
So that's all I really do there. I don't like go in and mine my shaft anymore. I don't pick herbs. Although I did sit and fish yesterday so I could make feasts, but. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's different. That's different. You just got fish, man.
I'm not going to name the episode Mining My Shaft, by the way.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I think I'm going to skip that one. I think that one will not be today's title. So that's very...
If you mine your shaft, it gets, you know, it just gets like overflowing. And you got to get in there and do some maintenance, you know?
You do. So this is really interesting to me, because I've been seeing you stream it. And so I knew that something was up. And I figured, wow, he seems to be sort of all back in. And it reminded me, that's kind of what this game does. Like, it has this weird fluctuating thing where there'll be this swath of time after a certain amount of expansion where you're like, I need to be doing other things. And certainly Blizzard's given us plenty of distractions to do. And then we do those things. And during that entire time, we don't really miss it. We're not really thinking about it. In fact, sometimes people are like, I don't know, maybe I'm done with WoW or whatever. And then this thing happens. And like you said, the combination of the movie, all the stuff that's being talked about, these Q&As I think have been really helpful. And I heard from a little bird, or a spider, if you like Game of Thrones, one of my spiders, says that numbers in the game may already be peaking back out at 7 million before the expansion.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I will say this, though. I slash hooed in a few zones, and I was the only one there. So it's not like... there's a widespread, everyone's jumping back in. There's definitely still, you know, but I mean, of course, AIE, there's always been activity, even while, you know, a lot of people were kind of lulled in and stopped playing WoW daily. But there's still activity in AIE all the time. Every time I log in, people are in there talking on the green wall. And although the green wall is more of a fence with some holes in it now, but it's still pretty good, but, you know, I like, it doesn't take long to queue for things, and there's so many things to queue for. It's pretty impressive that it's still only, you know, it took me like 20 minutes, I think, to queue for an older LFR the other day, which, you know, I was like, this is old, man. That's actually pretty decent if it's 20 minutes and I'm queuing for one section of, you know, something that's actually three tiers ago or something like that. So it actually feels to me pretty like a pretty populated world still. And as I'm running around the world, I am seeing people. I think, you know, it's funny because we talked on the show about the downtick in people and all that. And a lot of people have crapped on the game in its current state. And I really believe that World of Warcraft right now, the game itself, is the best it's ever been. And it's just the problem is that we are not forced into running into each other. And we had a long conversation about this at one point on a show.
Yeah.
But I really think, like, you take all the current systems and then just, like, chuck out the queuing and the flying, mm-hmm. and suddenly everyone's out in the world talking to each other again. Like, that's the only thing to me that makes it feel right now like a little bit of an isolated experience. But as soon as I went out and looked for people to do stuff with, because I had to clear out Kil'jaeden's throne for one of my Apexis Crystals dailies, you know, and that's a tough one. It's all elites and they're all,
sure,
you know, kind of hard to kill. It just takes a long I could do it as a hunter, but it takes a while.
Yeah.
So I, you know, just sent out a you know, who wants to do this with me. And all of a sudden, I had a few people doing it with me, like, pretty quickly. So it's like that aspect, though, needs to, like, be forced on you a little bit before you actually go out and do it. Mm. Otherwise, what happens is everyone's just sitting in their garrisons. No one ever sees each other. Sitting in auction houses. No one ever sees each other. But all the other stuff around it all feels really good, man.
Yeah.
Like, everything else about the game right now, it doesn't feel dumbed down and, you know, and casual and whatever. All that still feels really good.
Yeah.
There's still challenges if you go out and find them.
You make a pretty good argument for the idea that for their efforts this time around to push to a more social set of systems and you know, class halls and that sort of stuff seem like ways of getting people face to face more and less of this weird remote teleportation lobby system that the game kind of evolved into. So yeah, like with these alts, what are you doing with them? Are you building new characters?
I'm just queuing dungeons right now, which, you know, I just talked about how that's the thing that's taking us away from stuff, but it really is. I would rather run, like, we did a bunch of old dungeons recently. Like, we just did Karazhan, I did Sunwell, we killed Nefarian. Like, we went around, we did a whole bunch of stuff, Blackwing Lair, and that was really fun, flying across the world, going to these little remote spots, and we did AQ40 to kill C'Thun.
Oh man,
and that was awesome. You could see Princess Huhuran. People are playing Hearthstone. You could see the Twin Emperors. You could see Princess Huhuran. See all those people in there. That was amazing. Flying around the world, seeing all this stuff as you're going to the actual location itself. And I think that's what we're kind of missing right now, is that we need to go do this thing. Let's go to the thing, and then go kill the people. Like, right now it's sitting in a room pushing a button. And I don't know, the lobby system works for a lot of games, but I don't think it works for World of Warcraft. I really don't. I think that's to me the biggest thing that kind of takes me out. And with these alts, I wish that wasn't my option. I wish my option was to be running around. I will say this though, the earning Draenor flying has been pretty fun too, because you have to go around, you have to collect treasures from all over. Draenor is part of it, and that stuff was really fun. What I don't like, though, is that one zone is more important than all the others when it comes down to it. The Tanan jungle stuff is
gonna
way
be
more
the
important
same
than
in
you have to do dailies. You know? Yeah.
It's going to be the same in Legion. There's a top-level zone, though, where you have to do
That's fine as far as, like, you know, that's the final bit of the story, right, where you're actually confronting Gul'dan and you're doing all this stuff. And, you know, that makes sense as that zone for that. It's so important to just flying in all of Draenor. And I feel like what I've done already up to this point should have earned me flying in Draenor. But now I just have to log in daily and run around this one zone. So the idea was you earn flying in Draenor once you've already completed a lot of Draenor stuff, which means you've been all over and you've seen everything. And now you don't really need to, like, have the run around exploration thing going on anymore.
Right.
But instead of it being like that, what I would like is maybe some really long involved quest line that sends me all over the continent, right? I think that would be really cool. But instead, it's come in and do dailies in one zone for like an extra couple weeks at the end. And once you've done that, then you can fly all over all of Draenor.
Yeah, one would hope that
there's a little disconnect.
And even Patrick's right about, you know, Legion's not going to be all that different in terms of, you know, this top level zone idea, but I would hope and think, and I haven't messed around with the beta enough to say this, whether they're doing this or not, but they had to have learned enough from that entire flying, let's call it a mess, in Warlords, which started out as, we're not sure we're going to let you at launch. And then launch came and said, yeah, we don't know when we're going to do it. And then later in the expansion, it's like, yeah, we still don't really know. And then they finally kind of did it, and they had a kind of a method to the madness to doing it, which is what you're going through right now. You'd think that in this Legion iteration, they will have learned a bunch from that. They know when they're going to do it, roughly, and they will have built that around it instead of sort of having it, you know, float around Blizzard until they could figure out how to nail it down. And I have some confidence in that. And so hopefully we won't see nearly as much of what you're talking about.
Well, I think a single high level zone that's kind of the end of the story, that's fine. But I'm just talking about for this one specific thing, which is earning your flying in Draenor. Mm-hmm. It really seems to me like, you know, the legendary quest line sends you kind of all over the place and doing a lot of different things. And you're always coming back to Khadgar and, okay, now what? Now what do we do? And you actually see some story develop around Khadgar and, spoilers for those who aren't doing it, but, you know, freeing Garona from being kind of mind controlled by Gul'dan and all that kind of stuff. And everything kind of makes sense, right? You're mm-hmm. doing this thing and it's linear and you're going out to do something else. Okay, now we need this. Go out and get it. And I wish flying was like, hey, okay, we can get you to fly here. But you're going to need to go all the way to one end of Draenor and do this thing. Then you got to come back to me. Then you got to send you to the other spot over here in Draenor. And then actually gets you out into the world, right? So the end result is kind of a legendary quest line. But you get flying at the end because now you've seen mm-hmm. the entire continent. You've done things. You've like earned exploration, essentially. Mm-hmm. So
how would you feel if it was linked to the legendary quest line? Like at the end of it or towards the end of it, you get flying as well. Mm.
That, I mean, yeah, absolutely. The whole idea of these long, epic quest lines is awesome to me. Like, I really enjoy those. And I've gone back and done quest lines that I never completed at level because, you know, like, actually, I went, I started doing, because on Dills, I had never done the Karazhan quest line to get attuned, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
really?
When I went back, I was like, oh, look at this. I can still do this. Mm-hmm. So I totally like went off and did it. And there's all this cool stuff with Medivh and you're finding about it, his history and all this.
Did you do it solo, like the dungeons?
I haven't finished the whole thing. It's actually a lot of stuff. But I picked up a bunch of the quests when I got there. Because when I'd actually raided in Karazhan, it was on another tune. That was like so long ago now. It's crazy. Mm. That wasn't on Dills. When I came to AIE with Dills, I think that was like the tail end of Burning Crusade, and I never actually got up to like raiding with that character. So, but anyway, yeah, like so I had never actually completed that on Dills. So I started doing that again. It was really fun. I think the epic quest lines is really, that's the way I want them to achieve all of this stuff, because it feels like you're living through a story.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Rather than grinding dailies. Grinding dailies is fine for things, but I don't like it as part of major achievements. It's like, that's how you earn mounts and get all the extra stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, grinding in general is not my favorite thing in the world. And they do seem to, you know, a lot of these new systems in PvP even seem less grindy. The goal here is to... So we talked about it a little bit, and you're saying you're not sure that that stuff's in there yet, and it sounds like it's probably not. They're working right now on just balance and tuning. And
I'll have to go in. I mean, I want to test... where it is now, especially after seeing all this information. Right. But the PTR people, PvP was, it's just kind of right now to me, it feels like you just go in and you're just playing just mm-hmm. to kind of get a sense of, mm-hmm. you know, I did it to see what my new rotation would look like as a hunter and stuff.
Sure.
But
for people who don't remember, the way the PvP system is going to work in Legion is that you go in and no matter what kind of gear you have, you all get normalized at gear level 850. Like gear basically doesn't matter anymore. Now, if you start getting gear that is better, above level 800, each time you get an item that is above level 800, it's going to increase your power a little bit, but just 10% of what the actual power would be. So it's a lot more similar to a PvP system for, you know, shooters or MOBAs or whatever, general competitive systems, in that everyone is on the same playing field for the most part. There, you might have little variances if people get really high level item level, but it's going to be a lot less than it was in previous iterations. And you also have specific talents for PvP that only get activated in PvP. And PvP, like battlegrounds, give you items every time you complete a battleground. I'm guessing if you win, you get items. I mean, it's a very different experience now.
Yeah, when you win, so here's the deal. When you win, you don't take a bunch of currency and keep grinding until that's enough to go buy the thing anymore. That's currency is actually being converted to gold, the stuff that exists right now. So that's conquest and honor. All of that's going to be gold. What you do, in fact, get are essentially drops. So you're playing for a more immediate reward. There's some RNG involved. They say that they've got some bad luck stuff in there that is minimized. So your chances of Dills getting the same shoulders twice are very low. It's possible, but low. But they do want to introduce a more, not Diablo, but, you know, random loot quality to the experience. But you will always get something for your wins.
And basically, it's the same system as it is for PvE. Every item drop you get, even in quests, you know, they get a chance to be upgraded. And that's the case in Warlords already. It has a chance to be upgraded a little bit, and it can get upgraded by 5, 10, 15 item level points. So you and there's no PvP gear. There's no specific PvP gear. So you're going to go in PvP in your PvE gear, and you're going to earn PvE gear when doing PvP. The gear, again, kind of doesn't really matter anymore.
No, it matters in the sense that you're going to want to transmog the hell out of it, and you're going to get some cool sets you can't get anywhere else because you're playing PvP. But you're still, it's like you're just earning gear for the game in both places now, instead of these two completely separate tiers of gear. And I really like the sound of that a lot.
Yeah, they've been debating separating the two more than it had been in the past. And they've tried to minimize the separation a lot because they didn't want your character to feel different in the two. Mm-hmm. So the irony, well, not the irony, but the interesting thing is the gear is the same now when it was different before, but your character is a little bit different in PvP because you have this whole PvP specific talent tree. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it will work and feel better than it did in the past. It was fine in the past, but this will make it easier to not feel like you're getting completely stomped when you get into PvP because the guy in front of you has, you know, 100 item levels on you. And there's really nothing you can do. It's really going to be your ability to play your character in that PvP environment that is going to matter.
Yeah, and for those wondering if...
Well,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah,
my
understanding is that basically, like, gear is gear, and there's no PvP stats anymore.
Right,
so
right.
It will still make a difference, but it's a tiny difference now, not a huge one. And you can go out and just do, like, PvE and then be like, hey, I feel like PvPing one, you know, this time.
Yeah.
And your PvE gear will actually be fine.
Yeah. And the PvP gear,
exactly, jump in and you can just go.
And the gear,
but if
you
don't ever PvE,
right?
And that's the only way you earn gear is PvP. You will still get stuff that matters,
right?
Just doesn't. It's a smaller percentage. Like rather than like a jump of like say 10% extra power,
right?
Because I have a 725 and you have a 710 eye level. Like it's not going to matter as much.
I love that idea. I love the idea of being able to just play PvP and go, I got a sweet thing, but I want to go do raid now. Oh, I'm done raiding for a while. I want to go PvP and not feel like you're having to leave your life behind every time you do it.
It's actually like the more you PvP, just the better you get, just based on the fact that you can add these new talents and cool stuff.
Yeah,
right?
And you can tune that artifact independently in PvP without affecting how you use it in PvE. So in other words, if you've gone some crazy direction with the way you spec'd out your artifact weapons in the world, you can tune that in PvP and not have it mess you up in the bigger world, if that makes sense. I think that makes sense.
I'm not sure how that works. Is there two different tunings? Or I thought they were saying they haven't tuned artifacts for PvE yet, for PvP yet.
Well, here's how it may not have happened yet, but Holinka's statement was you can spec your artifact tuning for PvP without affecting how you use it in PvE. So whatever that means practically, it's hard to say.
Okay. I don't know because I haven't done, like, right now the PTR is very separated. There is a PvP PTR beta, and then there is the non-PvP beta where you're just doing the actual questing content and all of that.
Right.
And I haven't touched that at all. Mm. So I went into the PvP one and I opened up my artifact weapon and I saw all this stuff and I went, I'm just not going to mess with that. Like, I'll just let that be what it is and I'll just go play. So all I've really done is logged in and just gone and played. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that was what I wanted to see. I just wanted to see, you know, there's all these new abilities. Every spec is, just feels so different than it used to feel. All of a sudden, I got this thing called Headshot. I was like, what is that? You know, and so I had to figure all that stuff out more than anything else. So I will try to make an effort to get in there at some point so I can give you guys a more solid view of what that actually looks like. Because it seems like there's still plenty. If you're the person who likes to sit there and figure your stuff out, there's plenty to do. But it also feels like if you're not the kind of person who likes that, you can just click on stuff and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But there is a lot. It's kind of like, it looks almost like, has anybody ever played like Path to Exile?
Yeah. Love that game.
Like a much like stripped down version of that talent system, right? Where you go down these trees and different lines and all that kind of stuff.
That thing is so crazy.
Feels like
isn't that thing nuts? Oh my gosh, that thing is nuts.
It's so crazy. In that game, though, it was so much that I get why some people love it, but man, it made me stop real quick. I was like, if this was going to be my main game, I'd be all in on this. Yeah. But I already know, like, I just wanted to like check this out.
Yeah, so it's a beast.
I can spend time talking about what my spec and my deck's going to look like in Hearthstone and what and heroes and all that, because I know I'm going to play a lot of those games.
Yeah.
But when it's a game like that, I was like, I don't got
that. It looks like a giant tabletop game maker took a giant dump on a table, and that's what you got. And I like that game a lot. I have
it's
high
a cool game.
Praise
yeah,
for
if
it,
you're
yeah.
into Diablo, Path of Exile, you will love.
Yeah, it's great. Good. It's also, I think, you know, it does free-to-play right, in my opinion. Patrick, you were going to say something. What were you going to say?
I can't remember now.
Ah, crap. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Probably something really clever. Just think about something really clever that you would have said now, and that's probably what I was going
to
say.
Well, good news then, because Seasons, this has nothing to do with what you just said. I'll just have a transition anyway. Seasons are going to be tied to raid content timelines, so this is just going to be based on their workflow. They want to be able to put out content at roughly the same time. It's the way they're working internally. So when there's new raid content, there will be a new season. That is roughly 10 to 15 weeks per season for PvPers. That's, for those doing the math at home, that is 1.5 seasons of Game of Thrones episodes, right? 10 to 15 episodes, that'd be about right. That's a dumb way to count. Okay. My math sucks, too.
It is.
But anyway, that seems all right. 15 weeks, that seems fine. I don't think that's a bad timeline. Seems all right. Also, it gives you a good idea how soon you'll get raid content, so take that for whatever he meant it as, but it seems like, hey, guess what, everybody? 10 to 15 weeks of seasons and 10 to 15 weeks between raids. Two new arenas are coming. They didn't say which ones or what they'll be like, and facelifts to existing arenas are also planned someplace
That's
in
good.
The Legion cycle. That is good. Don't you think that stuff's getting a little, a little stale, right? They've been around for a long time.
It's been out forever, man. Yeah. And then the same damn arenas. Arenas... they don't need to be much other than some pillars to run around and stuff. But, they could look better. They could feel cooler. Mm-hmm. I think we could do maybe with a little, like, fewer pillars to run around. I think you want people to be forced into combat a little bit, but give you a place to go that gives them strategic, actual. Like, you right now, sometimes I go in an arena and I'm just chasing a druid around a damn pillar. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it for like 10 minutes. That sucks. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But things like the, Lordaeron something or whatever, where there's just like the grave in the middle, kind of tomb in the middle. I love that one because you can jump over it. You can go around it. There's actually stuff going on there. There's some play.
I remember being myself a druid, being chased around that tomb thing for a good while, while in that arena.
You get to run faster than everybody else though, man. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah,
when I'm a hunter, I have to see you. So once we get, it's basically like a kid, like a child running away from their parent around that little thing in the kitchens, you know, and you're just like, come on, man, go to bed.
Yeah.
It was good times. And then, you know, I was obviously Restoration Druid, so I would be the one that never dies. My arena partner would die in 2 seconds, and then I would run around trying to avoid the CCs and just
you're
healing
just
myself
casting
and
rejuves on yourself.
And then running, big cat running faster, and then
as you guys describe this, it's funny because I have this philosophical thing in my head about what it meant to make the changes they're making in Legion and how that affected PvP. It's so easy for people to pile onto that team and pile onto Hlinka and publicly berate them for making what they think is not the best PvP experience. But imagine when the main core team of WoW says, guys, we're going back to core fantasy per character. Everybody's going to have simplified rotations. We're taking some abilities out. We're changing entire things about classes like rogues, and they've got new names even, and we're changing all of this. All of that immediately has catastrophic effects on how the PvP team now has to approach their job. Like they have to essentially retrofit everything to fit this new paradigm. And it must be really hard. I don't want to apologize for the team for any mistakes they've made in the past, but it's a daunting challenge. And I think they're up for it. I like what I've seen so far. I haven't played any of this new stuff, but I guess hats off to, you know, Hlinka and the rest of the team working on this, because I think that's really hard. It's like when, what's it like? It's like if, you know, the actors are on stage changing lighting and the tech crew trying to make the play happen are like, well, shit, I was already pointing the light that, you know, like it's a hard thing to have to follow in that wake. And
it's like those commercials for like internet companies in the 90s, mm-hmm. like we're building a plane as it's flying.
Yes.
Or like we're herding cats. Or...
Yeah, basically that. Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard thing. So just internally, structurally, if you just think about it, I think they deserve some credit for that. They say this, if they make any new battlegrounds, they will likely remove older, less popular ones because they think there are too many as it is. I think
they should remove ones that are just kind of unbalanced. Mm. But of course, I think you need to wait a little bit because they are changing some things. Some racial abilities have obviously been changed, so there should be some differences in the balance after that. Mm. But
yeah,
like, you know, it sucks when you basically ban two battlegrounds, not because you don't really like them, but because Horde never wins them, or Alliance. I guess it's maybe the same thing on their side, but it's like, that's not why I want to ban them, right? I want to ban them because I just don't, I'm sick of that one or something.
Right.
So hopefully that stuff all gets kind of fixed, and then they decide which ones need to go.
Do you think they'd freak out? You think the base would just have a freaking canary if a Blizzard suddenly announced that Alterac Valley is being yanked out of the game? Like, what kind of meltdown would that cause?
It's funny because AV is one that I think, yeah, some people look on fondly, and a lot of people just go, yeah, all right, I don't need to play that ever again.
Yeah.
It's just at this point now, like Arathi Basin, if they took it out, there would be an uproar.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of
the main one, isn't it?
Yeah. It just feels like this is a fair map where we do fair PvP type of stuff. But
it's also just Arathi a good
Basin
flow.
Is just a little more PvE in your PvP. You know?
It's a good flow. It's a good layout. Like everything about Arathi Basin is just a successful attempt at making a good battleground.
Yeah, we all have those fond memories of the 24-hour Alterac, right? But don't bring those back.
Do we, though? Do we?
That's people. I mean, look, yeah, nostalgia's a hell of a drug.
It's a
right?
funny but, thing, right? Yeah, put that right in my veins. let's see. They also, they claim that they have full-time employees whose job it is to watch for cheaters and jerks. They also said 5v5 was very unpopular, so they removed it. Less people did it than do mythic raiding. Which I strange.
5v5 is like Clown Fiesta of PvP arenas. It's like you go in, and then everyone collapses on one guy, and then you're all collapsing on one guy on their team. And okay, now we got two guys dead. Now, all right, let's move. Now it's 4v4. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so weird because it doesn't feel like there's any real play. Mm-hmm. You could burst the hell out of somebody if five people all go on that guy. So it doesn't quite work, I think, the way they maybe originally thought of it. They thought of it as like, this is the biggest you can get, right? So 5v5, it'll be crazy. There'll be so many people in there. Mm-hmm. But everyone just focuses down one guy, and then that guy dies.
It was like, it's like institutionalized everyone go Winston, or institutionalized death ball only in heroes. Like, there's this feeling of like, overwhelming power, and then, all right, do that again.
Sometimes you pick the guy who can bubble real good so he doesn't die, and then it's like but it doesn't end up being like a strategic thing. It just ends up being like this kind of,
it's a dive every time, like you you dive one, and then it's not very
Yeah. But like 3v3, there's play, there's back and forth, there's a lot of stuff going on, because it's hard to kill one guy with only like 2 DPS. Or maybe you go 3 DPS, but now you don't have a healer. So that's the give and take, you know?
Yeah.
Or you go a tankier character with slightly less DPS, but he's harder to kill. So then you get, you know, there's actually like some stuff you can do within that.
Yeah.
And there's some play.
I guess the problem is
crazy. Yeah.
The problem is 5v5, you're always going to have enough DPS to mow down
kill
one.
Somebody.
Yeah, to kill somebody. So, yeah, that's the issue.
By the way, if you guys want to live out of fantasy, I got a little trick to share with you. I've been playing a little bit of Warhammer Total War or Total War Whoa. Warhammer. Just pretend you're playing like a Warcraft game, like an advanced RTS version of Warcraft, because that's basically what a Warhammer is anyway. It's kind of awesome if you start thinking of it that way. Like, you're just like, that dude looks like freaking Blackhand, and that guy looks a little like Thrall, I guess, or whatever. Their orcs are kind of different, but not. That game's great. Just want to throw a little shout out to the people who made that. It's really good. All right, let's talk about class trials. Patrick, it's something you wanted to talk about for a couple of weeks, so we're gonna touch on it here. Blizzard says they've enabled a level 100 boost in class trials experience for Legion. So this is actually a little bit of old news, about a week ago. What you do is you boost a character to level 100, places you in a short starting experience before you join in the Broken Shore experience. Class trials are basically ways of trying out your character, all of these new changes to those characters, kind of a tutorial experience. You were talking about it earlier last week. What's your take on it? Do you like this idea that, you know, I don't know, it feels like a nice way to get, it's like getting, it's almost like, here's a new way to get new people into the old game.
So actually that's not how I look at it. The thing is, when you have a level 100 boost, it's a way of showing you what the character is going to be before you actually decide to use your boost on that character.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tutorial. It's a tutorial, but in a way it sort of explains to you what that class is about. What, you know, you choose your class, and I can't remember. I did it with a couple of characters, but I'm pretty sure you choose your spec as well. And then you go in, it's kind of like you're at the beginning of the Legion, the initial quest, and it's kind of a boot camp. It's like, all right, I know that you're an awesome Frost Mage, but let's just go over the basics, you know, just to be sure. You might have been asleep for a while. And so they tell you how the Frost Mage works, and you know how the different buffs and debuffs, what are the main spells, the different buffs and debuffs, what they do, when you should, you know, they sort of explain the basic rotation for your spec. So it's something that I really like, because there are a ton. How many classes do we have now? 12?
12 total,
And you have three, on average, three specs per character. So it's like 36 different specs. It's a lot of, I have maybe five characters that I've brought to level, to around top level, max level. But there's half of the game that I don't really even know. I don't know how a Shaman plays. I have no idea what their. I played one to level 20, maybe.
You don't even know how to say shaman.
I don't even know how to say shame on the shamans. And I really love the fact that I think they should do that for everyone from the beginning. Like, before you choose what your main character is going to be, just have the option to go and try them at, you know, a simple rotation that you're going to get at level 60 or 70. And then you can decide whether or not this kind of play style is for you. And beyond that, you can even, you know, find the joy in the other characters you've never tried. It is such a vast game, and you have so many choices. Again, I've played tons and tons of it. I don't know half the classes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this works really well. It's fun. It's simple. It takes maybe 10 minutes to go through the entire rotation part of it. And it gives you, actually, I tried with a class I knew and a class I didn't know. And it gives you an actual good basic understanding of what it's going to feel like when you play it. So I think this is a system that is amazing. I love it, and I don't want to use my level 100 boost, because I want to keep it to try all the different classes, you know, if I ever want to in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think, as I was saying, I think they should just implement some version of this for everyone, just so you can try, just like an expanded try this hero in Heroes of the Storm.
Sure.
But with something that teaches you the rotation.
Mm-hmm. Can you do it if you didn't boost? Like, can I just say I want to do it on my Hunter?
No, it's only if you have a boost, basically. But everyone's going to get a boost with Legion, right? So, but if you don't have a level 100 character already, you're going to have to use the boost to play with your friends. So it's good that you're going to be able... Basically, I'm not sure it should be tied to the boost. Just give it to everyone.
That's
you
what
can
I'm saying.
Play for 20 minutes. And
you
and
should just... be able to click something and say, take me to the starter zone experience or whatever it is. Because I think I think that so many people are maybe like level to 100, left the game, haven't been playing for a while. Yep. Then they get back. Now everything's changed, right?
Yep.
So even if they didn't boost, there's still a lot of things that are different, and it would be kind of nice to go through your class trial and learn what your new, your new stuff is. Because when I first logged in on the beta PvP PTR, I logged in and I was like, holy crap, I don't know what any of these spells are. And I had to sit there and read and figure it out, and I was putting them in, trying them in different rotations and all this stuff. I mean, I spent, 45 minutes just kind of shooting target dummies, and I would have much preferred that something kind of walked me through that process.
Yeah, or at the very least, give you a tag and say, all right, this is your tag to buy any car you want in this showroom, and it's totally fine, whichever one you want, but go ahead and test drive the Beamer, and then go test drive the Lamborghini, and test drive all these fancy, expensive cars so that you know which one you're going to for sure want, because they've had a lot of changes this model year. This is a good metaphor. I'm keeping with this. And then then let you cash in that ticket, basically. That would be a way to do this.
I would love, if someone from the design team in WoW is listening, I would love for them to let us know if there's some kind of, reason. I'm sure there is, but if there's a reason for not making this available to everyone all the time. Mm-hmm. I understand it could be overwhelming for people who are just starting out, but if once you have a level 60 character, I think it would be good to,
When you open that adventure guide, this would go right at, this could be perfect for a little button right in your adventure guide that says, learn your class, learn your spec, and then you just pop on in there and test things out, because it's just, there's so much going on in the game as far as like the changes that are being made. And I've had some people say to me, they've expressed that, I'm excited about World of Warcraft again. I want to come back, but man, I don't want to relearn my class. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten emails about this over the lifetime of this show, that every time a big change happens, people get a little bit turned off by it. Mm-hmm. They feel like they spent so much time learning how to mage properly, mm-hmm. and suddenly they have to relearn that whole thing again. And they don't, that's not something that they have time to do, or they're not the type of player who's really excited to do that. I generally enjoy that learning process. But there's also a huge portion of the people that never, ever go outside of the game itself. I'll bet you that there's a lot of people who still don't even know that you can really add mods and do macros. They never look any of this stuff up. They just play WoW, and they will never, go outside and find the best rotation. So it'd be helpful to them to also have a button that exists in the game to, get them.
But even beyond that, if you're going to start a class and you're going to level them to, level 60, you don't want to get to level 60 and realize, oh, I don't really like
that. Yeah, I don't like this.
Style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I don't, the more I think about it, the more I don't understand. I don't think there would be any reason for not having this available to everyone. Maybe it's because they're testing the feature and they want to, try it out.
This could be a step toward that, is what you're saying. It's possible.
Maybe.
That's how they do things. They iterate until they get it. Let's talk about this action cam and camera stuff in general. The action cam is weird. I messed with it a little bit. It's kind of awesome and kind of weird at the same time. And it's not a thing that's on, certainly not on by default. And you've got to go. How did I even turn it on? Yeah, it's in the console. That's right.
Basically, it's a feature for the camera in the game that is not available in the standard UI. You have to activate it with a command in the console. It's like slash console action cam. full action cam on, action cam off. Yeah. Just Google it, you'll find stuff. And what it does, it makes the camera for the game very dynamic. It centers your character. It puts your character a little bit off center, so you're always seeing what you're targeting, and it moves the character relative to the camera a little bit differently than it does when you're just centered with the traditional camera, with the idea that, especially for melee characters, it's a lot more dynamic, hence action cam name. So it's very dynamic, and it feels like, I don't know, some kind of, it feels like Gears of War almost. You know, when you're in that thing where you're, especially if you're playing a warrior or a rogue, you're like teleporting to the enemy, rushing, charging towards them, and you put your camera a lot closer because you can see what's happening, so you don't need to be really far to do it, and it feels like you're in the middle of it. It's very weird. And on the other hand, I think especially for ranged classes, it feels, it's kind of puke inducing for some reason. It doesn't, you know, the camera doesn't, your character is not the center of the thing, so it doesn't move. If you select something else, the camera moves a little bit quicker. And obviously it's a work in progress, but I would recommend anyone to go and just try it out, especially on a melee character. It's weird, and it makes the whole game feel very different. It
feels like a third person action game, I don't know. They're clearly aiming for something here, and I hope they can nail it. But there's something disconnecting about it that's throwing me off.
I could tell you this. I don't think I'm going to use it ever.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You know what I could see using it for? If I ever decide to make a machinima, I'll be like, hey, I got this new machinima tool. Cool.
That's true. Also, you know, you could make the argument. It probably even exists for this reason, but you could make the argument that it's best suited to the demon hunters at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe somebody flips around and jumps and does all kinds of crazy stuff. But yeah, as a hunter,
they're moving so much. I think that would be puke machine.
Yeah, good point. Imagine a over the shoulder camera with Illidan and Heroes of the Storm, and how awful that would be. It'd be the worst thing in your life. You'd never want to ever do that again. So then, and on top of this news, which is something that may or may not make it into the main game, we don't know, but it is there for you to fiddle with. This is a bit of breaking news. The max camera distance is being reduced, or at least is showing up as being reduced in the latest build. Obviously an easy thing for them to tweak up or down, depending on when, you know, what they want to do before the game comes out. So people are flipping out, but it's one of those things where I think it's worth talking about, but the outrage is misplaced because it's such a small thing before the game comes out. Like it's small, meaning they can fix it in 5 seconds, you know? Like no big deal?
Like the problem. Okay, so I think this is one of those things where they're doing it, they're saying why, and then they're gauging the response is what I hope is going on here, because I personally would like them to not do this. I think that the for a lot of fights and for PvP and stuff, the max camera distance being able to go really far back, which was kind of a hidden feature, right? You actually had to type in a macro essentially to improve your max distance. And I actually, as a player, I zoom in and out quite frequently, based on kind of what's going on. So if I can, I go all the way out pretty much, because it gives me a huge view of the map. I can see all the people coming from all the sides and all that kind of stuff. So like, let's say I'm running down the middle of Warsong Gulch, you know, I want to know if there's a guy coming behind me, and max camera distance gives me that. They're moving it in to essentially what its max is if you don't know this macro. And their reasoning, at least what they said in the blue post, was that they strongly believe, they strongly believe there needs to be parity in this area between players who are using the default UI and those who have add-ons or knowledge of hidden console variables. One option was certainly to allow the in-game slider to go all the way, but that scale is beyond the one around which the game was designed at its core. So they're saying that the max distance was actually not necessarily supposed to be kind of in there. It's just there was a way to increase it, but the game essentially was designed for the max distance you can get by just using the default version. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I can totally understand that. But I think once you've given us this increased max, like, just maybe put a checkbox in there that says like increased max distance.
And yeah, then it's a little like the genie's out of the bottle.
It's not hidden anymore.
Yeah. The genie's out of the bottle. You can't shove this genie back in. I feel like there are too many people that like it or rely upon it, and it's a mistake for them to do this. So
There's also been other people, because, you know, to me, it's just it's a convenience thing, right? And it's a tool I use to play slightly better. And it is something you have to train yourself to do. I mean, I have it so that, because normally your mouse wheel is zoom in and out, but I use my mouse wheel for other stuff. So now I have to shift mouse wheel to zoom in and out. But I've gotten to the point where I don't even think about it. I just think, okay, I need to zoom in a little bit. And then I just, like, it just kind of happens, right? Because I've done it so much. Like, I've trained myself that this is a tool I use to play a little bit better. Now, all of a sudden, that's gone. I don't know exactly how it's going to affect me 100% yet, but I do know that there's a lot of people who are like legitimately concerned that this is taking away the tools that they've gotten totally used to. And then there's people who have said things like, for whatever reason, whether they have vision issues or not, that they need the max view just to help them play. And like, period. So, you know, maybe even you move it into the accessibilities tab and you say, like, this is, you know, like turning on colorblind mode or something like that. If you need this extra distance because you get like sick from looking at things too close. I don't know. I don't have any of that, so I can't speak for those people. Right. Like, I don't know how that feels. But it does suck if like people can't play now because of this. And if that's legitimate, then that does suck.
I'm guessing if you have played this game constantly at that maximum zoom, that's all you do.
Yeah.
This is literally changing the video game in a very fundamental way for you. For me, yeah. I move all over the place. It depends on the situation. I'm zoomed in for some, zoomed out for others. Some raids are, some raids aren't. Like, I'm probably not the problem here, or I'm not going to be one who would care all that much, but PvP.
But like, think about like the Malagos fight. Yeah. Remember the Malagos fight?
Yeah.
You'd zoom way out on this platform so you could kind of look at it in its entirety, right? And you could see where those little guys were coming with their little discs and stuff, and you could kind of see what the hell was going on all around the whole place.
That may have been
the
fight.
Think about like Memoron fight when you try to do it on fire with Firestarter or whatever, firefighter.
Yeah.
There's fire all around the damn room and you got to find some place that's kind of far away from you that doesn't have fire.
Yeah.
And so you can look from above and you can see, oh, there it is. And then I run over there. Like, there's, and people were saying the Archimon fight too, which, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And there's mechanics that happen tons of distance away from where people are standing. So it's, there's definitely like fights that feel like they're designed so that you should be able to have this max distance. Yeah. So it's weird to me that suddenly and maybe they changed those designs so that they're not like that anymore. But it's weird. I hope they read through the comments. They're definitely, I'll say this, anybody out there, if you don't like this, please don't preface your comments with, "Hey, buttholes, what the hell is wrong with you?" Like, that kind of stuff. Like, you need to give them constructive criticism on this and give them reasoned arguments for why you want the max distance back. Because if you do that, enough of you do that, they might actually revert this change.
Right.
I think that's how I'm going to start all my communications for everything now.
Hey, buttholes.
Hey, buttholes. Hey, buttholes.
Hey, buttholes is a great way to start a sentence. Also, listen, this is not another soapbox moment for people who want legacy servers. I understand you want them and you should probably get them. And we've argued that you probably should in some form. We don't know what that is. And we're very curious to see how that all turns out. But this isn't another reason to dig that argument up. Just hold that one over there to the side a little bit. I tried to watch, by the way, the PvP Q&A live. The Twitch chat was the worst thing on planet Earth. It was so bad.
Yeah. The PvP community itself can be a little toxic. It is true.
That was real bad. I wanted to get the hell out of there quicker than I could.
Because of insults or
just the most horrible, racist, awful, like, I know what I'm saying is not a surprise to anyone who frequents Twitch in any channel that's got, you know, 20,000 or more people in it, but good Lord, just turn that shit off by default. I think there ought to be a choice in your account that says,
the
hey,
trolls got triggered when we told them we didn't like their trolling. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like they've been energized or something.
Yeah.
I've been noticing it lately.
It's true. All right. So there's that Max Camera. Sounds like a great name for a detective, I think. The Adventures of Max Camera.
I just want to add, just for, you know, argument's sake, that I don't think it's that big a deal. I don't think it's a big deal if it stays. I don't think it's a big deal if it goes away. If so many people are so passionate, maybe they should leave it in. But just if those fights that you're talking about, and we can move on. We don't have to restart the conversation. But your point is valid. What I'm saying is those fights that you're talking about, if you didn't have that super hot max camera, you would still, you know, manage to do the fight is my point.
Yeah, you'd find a way. But I think the other thing here is if it's not a big deal, then why take it away?
Yeah. Right?
I think that's true. You know, like you don't care. It's not going to affect you.
So their reasoning is if you do that, then you sort of force everyone to play that way because it's quote unquote the best way to play. That's sure. I don't know that I agree, but that's their reasoning.
Their reasoning is some sort of parody thing. Yeah. But the problem is I think at its core now, WoW doesn't really have that because some people are running Gladius when they play PvP and some people are running Find the Healer and kill them when they're playing PvP and some people aren't. So like it already doesn't exist. So unless we're going to like start stomping out all the add-ons and everything, like I don't think they should do anything for this reason because it's not in the game now. So some people have an advantage already because they know what the hell add-ons are, period. Yeah. You know,
plus it's troll. Right. It's tasty troll food. All right. Let's talk about one final thing here in WoW. You can buy WoW themed beer in China. So your long national.
I'm sure it's properly licensed and a completely legitimate product.
Actually, I think it might be. So
it probably doesn't make you go blind or anything.
Yeah.
Anything
weird. So it is actually it's based more on the movie stuff. As we know, Warcraft was an enormous hit over there, and still making money, doing fine in many overseas markets. And,
is it no longer in theaters here, by the way? Is it gone?
My theater has it, I think.
Okay.
When we saw it, and I think
it's still around, but I mean,
let me look up Fandango real quick here.
Yeah, look that up.
I think it might be. I don't want to say too much, but it's made so much money in China that it makes up for everything else, and I think I'm hoping that means we're going to get a sequel.
I think we're getting a sequel. We may have to read it in English subtitles.
We'll get a sequel in Chinese overdubbed in English.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. Yeah, here it is. It's actual Tsingo. This site came up really slow.
No, it's Tsingtao. Tsingtao.
Is that how you say it? Tsingtao?
Tsingtao. I think that's the pronunciation. It's a well-known Chinese beer.
So this is legit. This is like a real beer, and so you can get it. I wouldn't mind getting a can that I could like keep forever. I don't even like, you know, I'm not a beer drinker, but I'd love to just have a can because it's got WoW theme. It's basically just Duratan staring at you. So there's that. Duratan beer, everybody. Catch it.
By the way, we could say that the Warcraft movie was a flop in the U.S. now.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I mean, easily.
It totally flopped in the U.S. Yeah.
It was a big tanker.
It made like less than $50 million in the U.S.
Yeah, I think.
Less than 15?
50. 50.
Oh, okay.
It made like 25 in its opening weekend or whatever, right? And then it dropped off like significantly after
that. In 2016, box office revenue, that is is the biggest flop of the year. That's bad.
I did my best, man. I saw that thing 3 times in the theater.
Yeah, I did my best. We had a whole crew of 335 people, and we all had a blast. I think fans can only do what they can do.
Well, apparently, you're not the ones. You tried. It's good. But to the rest of the world, over 400 million now, 430 million. I think that's there's no way that doesn't warrant more, even if absolutely. You have to reduce the budget.
I don't even think they'll reduce the budget. I think they'll just but how much do they have to cater to the other? Like, OK, here's a question for you. If Man on the Moon / Duncan Jones is right about what he wants to do next, which is the Arthas story, he said that out loud. That means the introduction of all sorts of things like Night Elves, Tauren, Undead. And suddenly you've got Undead. And now you've got a country in the form of China who has like all kinds of rules about showing bony dead people. Like in the game,
yeah.
You can't
I think they're going to have to do two versions. They're going to have to do the non-bony undead and the bony undeads.
Yeah, but
maybe we're just going to get zombies and no bones showing.
Well, that's my point. Is they'll probably just err on the side of who bought the most tickets last time.
The total box office $413 million. Wow,
isn't that crazy? It's crazy to me. Yeah,
production budget was $160 million. I'm watching Box Office Mojo. $160 million production budget. That there's no way they spent more than $160 million on marketing. I really don't think so. So that
there was a lot of commercials though for it, more than I sure. expected. Yeah,
but they're up at least $100 million, or you know, just about $50 to $100 million. That's good money.
That's profit. Yep. That's profit, son.
To me, it feels like it just do the same process again with the same people in charge, and you'll make another $400 million.
Mm-hmm.
Because China will be all over that. If they do the Arthas story though, is the plan? Because has he like told what the full plan is, or is it, because it feels weird to me to throw Arthas Rising and then Arthas becoming the Lich King and then Arthas getting killed like all in one movie.
No, I agree. It sounds like a trilogy. It sounds like a trilogy for itself.
Part two and three to me.
Yeah.
You got Thrall, Jaina, you got a lot of other people you got to get in there, man.
Yeah.
And they need to matter. Yeah. Plus, you still like Lothar is going to be in there. Uther's going to be in there. Like these people are going to need to kind of have their moments and then fall off. And then the third movie, like those are all, they're all gone. Like, I don't know. It's just,
it seems incredibly ambitious. If you want to do that, it has to be at least two movies. If you think about Warcraft 3, all of that needs to happen for the, I mean, they can change it, but you have all of it that needs to be part of the whole story. And you didn't even talk about the whole Night Elves thing, mm-hmm. because you have Illidan and Malfurion and Tyrande and like all of those are part of that story. And Thrall, there's no way you can't do Thrall.
Well, obviously, so, Thrall is part of this deal. But
That, you have to have the orc internment camps, and then he escapes and he forms, you know, it's...
Yeah, Sylvanas Sylvanas alone is a movie. Like, you could tell the Sylvanas story in a movie.
See, a lot of this stuff's going to get skipped, man. Like, you know in the movie how Dalaran's already in the sky?
Yeah.
People were pissed, like, yo, Dalaran wasn't in the sky at this time, man. I'm like, you know why? Because they're not going to explain that. And so just make it in the damn sky rather than having to go through that whole story.
Plus, it's so much cooler.
You can't tell all the stories.
Right.
You just can't.
It's so much cooler, too.
You have to pick and choose which ones you're going to do.
Exactly.
And then everything around it has to just kind of, okay, that's fine. We just lock that in. It's fine.
How boring is your movie if you're like, hey, there's this one cool magic city. Where is it? Well, it's just in the dirt like everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Put it in the sky.
Hillsbred foothills. You know, Hillsbred foothills where all the stuff happens.
Yeah, it's so exciting there. Some zombie bears, I think, we can go kill. It'll be great. Anyway, so go get your beer. Quick Heroes update. At the end of the Medivh trailer, there is a Gul'dan teaser, and everyone assumed that meant Gul'dan was next. I still am kind of convinced he is. We don't know anything about him other than he's coming. But as of today, a couple of hours ago, I never say her name right. Is it Oriel? Ariel?
Oriel?
Oriel. She's a Oriel.
Like,
she's a
Oreo, second like baseman. A delicious sweet treat.
Well, like I always think of it like oral, like you know, not O R, but aural, like
like hearing,
to the sense of hearing,
yeah, like sound,
not talking, hearing, aural,
Oreo. Maybe that's an Oriel. There you go. She looks like she may now be the next hero, or at the very least, she's coming. Probably support. May feature some sort of resurrection spell. Lots of speculation going on right now about her.
There's Gul'dan. They said he's heading to the PTR. Yeah. So I think he's the next one. They're just teasing the one after that.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had a support since Morales, I want to point out. So this she is likely support.
Yeah. And right now in competitive heroes, you're always banning like supports. Like you ban like the worst assassin first, then you ban like some support or something to limit their pool because there's not that many.
Yeah.
So you
ban like Li Ming, Li Ming, you ban Morales, you ban Rhaegar, and you ban Kael'thas is typically your ban rotation. And you're starting to see characters like Lili dominate healing in draft play because she's, you know, like what else the hell are you gonna do? You're not gonna bring Karazim out, even though I love him, but you know, he's not in the meta right now.
If you're good, you do, but
Yeah.
I would love for Gul'dan actually to be a support hero, like he steals some of your life, of the enemy's life, and gives it to others, or maybe he steals life from the creep, and he's like you know, his life espresso that he has in the movie, like I will have a little bit more of this, like from mercs and stuff like that, and then Oriel comes up. And she's like, she's giving hope to everyone because she's the, avatar of hope or archetype of hope. I can't remember what they are. Archangel of hope. And you know those games where you are completely horrified by what everyone is doing. You want to just give up. You don't want to play anymore. Ariel shows up, and through some internet magic, your screen flickers, and then you're hopeful again. I think that would be awesome.
That would be all right. So Terpster on an episode of Hypothetical Help made the joke that that the way Gul'dan sucks the life out of, like, that in the movie with the dude sitting next to him, where he's just taking a drag off this guy. He goes, that's basically
he's having a cocktail.
He called him he called him Gul'dan's vape pen, which made me laugh pretty hard. But that was pretty good.
See, I think though, like, Gul'dan, here's what I think. I think Gul'dan does siphon soul, because that's essentially what he's doing, right?
Right.
He's casting siphon soul on people. But I think then he gives fell buffs to people on his party.
Mm.
So they gain DPS but lose resistance or something like that.
Something that comes at a price, but it makes it, but you're very powerful for like a short amount of time.
You're powerful for 10 seconds and then you explode.
Will they categorize him as support in your mind, as if you had to predict this today?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I'm going like specialist or something like that. Mm. Either that or just they make him a straight up assassin.
So many specialists lately.
I like the idea of him being someone who siphons and buffs and then does, but he has so many powers, right? Like he's got it. Watch the movie and you're like, he just does whatever he wants.
Yeah, I think we're not going to spoil in case. I mean, who listens to this and hasn't seen the movie?
Nobody. It's been 2 weeks. We're fine. Everything more than 2 weeks. Yeah. It's fine.
But I mean, that thing he does at when he gets angry, I think that should, someone mentioned it on either, I can't remember if it was Core, but that should be one of his ultimates, right?
Yeah.
You're like,
you mean the Makara moment?
Because one of his ultimates, when he
goes in Makara mode, you know, and he,
yeah, of course, exactly.
Like,
yes,
robes come off, and you're like, what?
that was so badass.
That could be interpreted in many different ways. When his robes come off, and you're like,
robes
what?
Come off, what?
When the robes come off and his bones come out. That was the coolest scene of the movie, I thought. But anyway.
Well, but if you notice early on, they're coming out of his arms and stuff too. Like, it's not just his back. Like, so. You kind of like, because you know, you could think of it as that's part of his attire, maybe, if you don't pay enough attention.
I think that was the trick,
but you could see it coming out of his elbow, like everywhere he's got all these kind of splintery bones coming out. And that's just because the fell, man, you know, it distorts you.
I walked away. I used to think of him as kind of a feeble old orc man, and I walked away from that movie.
He's
going,
like, he can Yoda you anytime he wants.
Bad
you know?
Ass.
Start flipping around.
Yeah, totally Yoda'd us. That's a really good comparison. Well, anyway, so
saving his power.
We don't know anything about either character, but the thinking is Ariel probably healer of some sort. Some have suggested like a resurrection spell as one of her ultimates, and I have this to say about that. If that's true, then it will need to be a very tight radius that maybe can be expanded a little with another talent. But it can't be a battlefield wide sort of thing. It needs to be like Mercy, kind of Mercy ish.
No. Raising one person should be what it is, and it should be an ultimate, because that's powerful, man.
What if it raises you, but at the core, you're not where you were. You just don't have the
downtime.
That's interesting. Well,
it's
still
incredibly powerful though, because if you think about it, like when everyone dies and you have like 50 seconds or whatever, right? And then you just come back to life. Like Diablo does this as like a trait, but you know he's also weaker in other ways, right? So it's so damn powerful.
But
there's
one
a huge cooldown on Diablo.
For one character.
One character to do it. Now, here's the other. Somebody in our game last night, we were playing some Hero League, Team League, and somebody suggested, can't remember who it was, Ryan or somebody. Somebody said, if you, or what about bringing everybody back in a small radius, you know, the way that Mercy would do it, but do it small radius as a limitation, but then also everybody comes back only half life and half mana or even no mana.
So but then you come back and you
just die again.
You die, but you'd have this last second chance where four of you, for example, could all pop up and make a final effort or something.
Tough. You know what? This is like this super specific deck that you do in Hearthstone. And you think, you know what? When all of these are going to happen right the right way and the right time is going to be awesome. And it does once in 100 games.
Yeah.
That's...
It's like the maw that swallows five people, or the the blind.
I don't want her to be a character you have to combo with other characters to make her work. Because like what I want her to be is just like we need more standalone support characters that are just support on their own, don't need to be paired with anybody. Because right now we've got you know, we've actually got a couple that can't even solo heal, you know?
Right.
And that sucks, man, because there's a small pool already. So what we don't need is we don't need another one that's like, well, yeah, but if you have Tyrael, then you res, then you sanctify, then they don't die. And you're like, well, okay. So now I have to have Tyrael to make this work? No, no.
Yeah.
Like I do think though a res might be part of her kit because it hasn't been seen yet. I had this whole idea about they come out with an Alexstrasza hero and a Deathwing hero at the same time.
Yeah.
And Alexstrasza's, you know, the Lifebinder, so Alexstrasza has a res.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then we talked about my whole idea for it, and then it made more sense as a battleground. Mm. So where it's like Alexstrasza on one side and Deathwing's on the other.
Yeah, that's a super cool idea. They have
I want to see teams of five Archangels or five Dragon Aspects or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I have been wanting to see that
right
as
now,
well.
It's tough to even do like Horde versus Alliance or anything. Like, you can't do any cool fun stuff like that. There's not enough heroes.
Yeah. Man. I mean, you kind of can, but they're bad comps, you know.
But it's not going to be the current comps. Meta dictates.
Sure. So one other thing that some have rumored, and again, there's no basis for this at all, but the idea that when they were showing that portal throbbing before Ariel sort of pops out like she did today, that perhaps what we're seeing in the background there is Westmarch, and that we could end up with another Diablo-themed map based on Westmarch or something. And the thinking is that we haven't had a map since Shrines. The other one. The ones with the Crypt Keeper versus the Crow dude.
Yeah, the Towers of Doom.
Towers of Doom was the last thing, and that was like months and months and months and months ago. So we're due for another battleground, perhaps, or the resurgence of Haunted Mines or something. But
well, they also said that they don't like Garden Tear,
mm-hmm.
and so they're going to fix it.
Oh, that's
so
good, because I also say that I don't like Garden Tear.
Yeah, it sucks. It totally sucks. So, you know, even if it's not a bunch of new maps, if they just put one and then they fix some of the other ones and we got Haunted Mines back, that would feel like a huge infusion of maps. So
I don't know. I want them to finish the arena thing.
Mm.
That's what I want. Yeah, I want a way to play the game which is a little bit less stressful. Sure. Just go in and do and mess with stuff.
Yeah,
had Trixler on the show on Stormcast, and he said that's not gone. It's just been have changed their idea of what they were exactly going to do, and so they had to push it back quite a bit.
It feels very MIA, but maybe we'll see something. I mean, at this stage, they probably won't show us till BlizzCon or something.
Browder confirmed it's not gone. They just don't have an ETA anymore, probably because it was changed significantly, as you said.
Yeah. So that's what's going on in Heroes. Heroes is great. I've been playing a ton lately and enjoying it, as always.
Where'd you end up after your placement matches?
I'm still two away on team, and I'm still one or two away on Hero League. I'm just taking my sweet time, just chilling, mostly playing a lot of... It depends on who's on, you know? Like, if we get five solids, we'll do Team League because we're all very interested in seeing how that works. Plus, you get a participation.
The team league is going to get a buff to like XP earned and gold earned and all that kind of stuff, which will be sweet.
Yeah, it's already going on. Like as of yesterday, we were getting 50 gold per win and 100% more XP for matches and stuff. So, yeah, it's a strong play to get more people in there. And they obviously, I mean, think about it. It's the mode of the game that requires you to have five coordinated people who all agree to be on at the same time and play in a very competitive environment. And so it's obviously the one mode they need to beef up the most participation in, I'm sure. So
yeah, I don't think that many people are doing it either. Everything I've heard is that the queues used to be like incredibly long, and then you get into a match against a pro team or something, and you're like, really?
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody else we can match up with.
Yeah,
you know,
we ended up with the same team twice. We had like a 300 second match or a wait time, got in with a team, beat them, great games, really fun, and then the next one another 300 and something, exact same team.
Yeah,
for the next one, and that's fine. It's you know, and it should be like this weird elite club. It should be like this thing where you really got to coordinate and you got to have a team, and you know, it's not as easy.
But
just
I'd like
solo
tiers
queuing
within that too. You know, I'd like to be able to just find like four of my friends who don't really play, and there's other people doing it too. That'd be cool.
That'd be all right too. I agree. There needs to be some middle ground. That's the same way I feel about queuing solo or duo, and only having that option in Hero League or going a full five stack in Hero League, which means you may as well just play Team League. So it's weird. That's
so I ended up silver.
Mm, that's not bad.
And
that's great.
And I promptly lost every game since then, and I'm now in bronze. And it's so frustrating because every single game, you know, There's this way you have to play where you just say, all right, fine, we're doing the dumb guys idea.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to the dumb guys spot. Yeah. He's pinging the boss at level 7.
Right.
And the entire other team is up. But hey, everybody else on my team is off to the boss now.
Yeah.
And if you decide that you're going to rage and tell them, no, this is a terrible idea, all you're doing is just making it so now there's only 4 of you at the boss, and then they just definitely kill you guys. And like, yeah, it's just, it's so stupid because you obviously know this is a terrible idea, you have to just turn that part of your brain off that says these are stupid ideas and just say, I just got to do the best thing I can do for us to win
inside of these stupid ideas. Exactly.
Only thing I can do is be there with my team, even if it's a really bad idea.
Think of it as challenge. You know, it's like challenge modes. You have to to see them as like harder levels.
That's the mark of an actual good player or someone that knows what you need to do. When you're willing to just do the dumb thing because everyone has decided to do it because it's the best outcome that you're going to get. You're not going to get anything out of, you know, going your way and, you know, going bottom lane all of a sudden and fighting 2 other heroes by yourself. That's not going to do anything.
Well, it's like the thing is so many people go in and they're like, I saw MVP Black do this. We won a team fight. Now we go if we do this. And you're like, yo, that we are in bronze, homie. Like, bring it down a notch. All we can really do here, we want a team fight. Let's push down like these 2 towers here, and then we'll that's enough, you know. You have to kind of meter what you think you can actually accomplish as a team based on how good your teammates are. And that's the hardest thing for me is I feel like where I should be is probably somewhere around gold, but I'm gonna have to get through this little portion here to get there, and then hopefully the games will like be a little bit more wherever I feel like I'm on equal footing with everybody else. But right now it feels like it's a madhouse. I have no idea what anyone's plan is, and I'm just kind of like, all right, well, I'm ETC, so all I'm going to try to do is make sure that I land a mosh while everyone's here, and we hopefully win that team fight. And you know, it's like that's how you kind of have to play.
It's the best you can do. I just mute and go. I won't even start a game sometimes without just muting them ahead of time. Just saying, I'm not going to listen to these toxic wieners. I'm just going to go and see how things go. They can ping and I'll know what they mean. That's plenty. Yeah. No one's ever using it to give me some specifics.
You know what I mean? And that's fine.
Yeah.
Get them to come with you. But like, it's, you know, I play with some people. I was playing with an ETC the other day and we were like all off somewhere else. I don't exactly know how it ended up in the situation. We're all off somewhere else. And then all of a sudden we hear him yell like 4 of them in bot lane. And we're like, okay. And we start heading that way. And then he moshes all 4 of them before any of us got there. And he's like, where the hell were you guys? And then he starts going crazy. It's like, dude, like you didn't mosh doesn't do damage. It just stuns. Like you can't just mosh the entire team and think you did something amazing here.
Yeah.
Like you needed to wait for us and then do it.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of that going on right now where I am, which I think on ITN they've been calling it MMR hell.
Yeah, it's a little bad in there. I'm guessing when I do my last 2 matches, I will end up in bronze is where I'll be. I've just taken on a new attitude about that process. I'm totally cool with that. I'll work my way up. I'm going to chip away at it. I'm not going to give 2 shits about some dorkin who's playing me and who's being a total dweeb and a jerk. And I'm just going to get past that match and move on to the next one and play with my friends when I can. And man, that game's great when you can let go of those kinds of things.
Sure. You know? I think the strongest thing you can do too is play strong heroes.
Yeah.
Just play strong heroes.
Yeah, and build out your roster and stuff. It's good. The game's great. Patrick, I wish it would play in other regions so it was like Overwatch so we could play more.
I wish so too. Although we haven't been playing together in Overwatch. I don't know when you're playing. But, you know, it's really funny because I'm hearing all of this and it some of it echoes what I've been feeling in Overwatch. I don't know if you want to jump into that.
Let's talk about it. Yeah, let's talk about competitive mode in Overwatch because it's definitely a related issue, I think.
Yeah, and this is the first time that I'm playing serious competitive for any game like this, any team game. Right. I haven't played competitive seriously in Heroes. I played a little bit. I think I was ranked 38 is the highest I got. And I mean, clearly I wasn't very good at that game. Overwatch, I take it a lot more seriously. So when competitive mode came out, oh yeah, news. The news is that competitive mode is available.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. There are some issues with it. Some issues with sudden deaths that aren't really fair or not perceived as fair. Mm-hmm. Elements. Anyway, they're tweaking it for season two. I think it's in a pretty good place right now. If you haven't tried it out, go and try it. If you want to hear more about it, you can go listen to Overwatchers, because this show is already going a little bit long. I don't think Scott wants me to go into all the details of the competitive mode.
Sure, sure.
But the more interesting thing is how it feels. And again, for me, it's the first time I'm diving like headfirst into it. I did all of my placement games in one sitting, and I lost like 7, so I felt really bad about it. One of them I lost because someone disconnected, and we were winning, and then all of a sudden we weren't anymore because one person wasn't there. Yeah. Another one that was like, you know, all of the stupid stuff you're talking about, guys. It happens in Overwatch as well. Obviously, there was at some point, you know, we were defending on one of the maps and it was going super well. We were resisting really efficiently. And at some point, they start pushing really hard and we can't stop them anymore for some reason. And, you know, we're trying to understand, trying to figure out. And maybe a minute later, someone says, oh, we don't have a tank anymore.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Why? Like, at least if you're the tank and you're going to switch off, at least tell us in the chat, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had lots of games where people were communicating really efficiently,
yeah,
and lots of games where people didn't talk at all. And I found that it doesn't really mean anything for whether or not you're going to win, surprisingly. You know, you always think if you're communicating, it's going to make for a better team. I think it helped in some games, but we've also won other games where we didn't talk at all. So yeah. I'm not 100% sure it's as important as I initially thought. Anyway, ended up being rank 49. For those who don't know, there's rank 1 is the worst one. Rank 100 is the best one. And everyone seems to be compressed between 35 and 65 at the moment.
Look at you right in the middle there, dude.
I was 75 yesterday. Yeah. One of the top guys. Yeah.
Look at you at 49, though. You're Mr. This is one of the things I actually like about competitive modes in games like this. Whether or not I dive all in on them is a different question, or if I'm in the mood for them. But those feelings are sometimes bad. You're losing 7 of your 10 placements feels bad. Like, toxic behavior from other players feels bad. All of that stuff is true. But there's something about when the stakes are higher like this, it really does. You really do see the amazing people rise to the top. Like, it's the real place for it to get gritty and dirty and kind of rude. And out of that comes amazing players. And it's almost the only way you get to see that outside of, you know, you don't really see it in casual play. You see great players who work people, but it's just a chance for that. You know, it's so cool to watch, I think.
Yeah, the chat room, Pale Tusk, is saying that Seagull is now ranked 84, so it's rising.
Wow.
I mean, people are spreading in both directions. I saw a heart-wrenching post on Reddit from someone saying, I am the worst player you will ever encounter in Overwatch. So they were placed like 38 or something and kept losing every single game, and they were like ranked 20-something. It was terrible. Anyway, but I think the thing is, in competitive, it is very intense. But for me, at least, I think everyone's experience is different. I think I feel worse when I lose than I feel good when I win. Mm. And I don't know why. I have to, you know, work on myself a little bit. This is self-improvement. It definitely feels good when you win. And the level on competitive game, you always have jerks who are like, oh, this is, everyone's doing whatever and this is ridiculous and blah, blah, blah. But I really think that the level on competitive is a lot higher than on casual. And you're supposed to be roughly at the same MMR. And it's just people are taking it really seriously. And I've had excellent games with people who were cooperating, having, you know, really great spirit. I think it's a lot less toxic. There are toxic jerks, but I think it's a lot less toxic than what I've seen of Heroes, for example. I don't know why. Maybe it's because, as we've discussed a lot of times, the game is tighter, so there's not a lot of choices. You're either attacking a point or defending. So of course you can flank or choose your character, but it's not like you have a choice between laning, going to take a Mercamp, sure. doing the boss, and going in a team fight. Mm-hmm. So I think overall, even though there are jerks, it's manageable for sure in Heroes and in Overwatch. And I've had a lot of pretty good teams. People I worked together. Sometimes we even lost, and we were like, "All right, you know what? They just had this Tracer was a god, and there was nothing we could do to stop it. They just outplayed us, mm-hmm. and we parted on okay term. Of course, it doesn't feel great to lose, but it was acceptable.
Yeah, I like when that happens. So it happens in Heroes. It happens in Overwatch. I like that feeling of when people are just being freaking adults about it. You know.
It feels like it happens. And having a good game though too,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, that's true.
It does well. Yeah, it does happen sometimes. And when you're the one stomping, you're like, "Yeah, we did it." But there's also another thing which I think is a really interesting aspect of the ranking in Overwatch. And so as I said, I lost 7 in my placement matches, won only 3, but ended up being 49. So and what Jeff Kaplan was saying is that there are a lot of factors that are taken into account, you know, how you did in the game, how how the teams were compared to one another. Maybe one was a lot stronger than the other, so you won't lose as much MMR if you lose, all of that. But he also includes individual performance. Mm. And I don't know how it works out, how they calculate it. I know that without, you know, saying any, trying to self-aggrandize, every other game I have maybe 4 medals and 2 of them are gold. So I know that I'm doing a good job in the team. And even though I've lost more in the placements, I've apparently been deemed average. So I think there's something there. And that kind of made me, when I realized when I read what Jeff was saying, it made me a lot more okay with the idea of losing because my team is being idiots. And if at least I'm going to focus on doing the best I can myself, mm-hmm. and hopefully the game notices and makes me lose less if we lose and win more if we win.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there wouldn't be something there for Heroes as well. It's not that when you lose 100 points and that's it, but maybe if it could adapt it a little bit to how much it evaluates your performance, and if it has to do that well. It can't be, you know, the most damage gets the best performance. If it wasn't your role, if you should have been, it's a complicated algorithm.
Well, course, I mean, Kaplan is already, already, I feel like they've already said more about how they are getting individual MMR to work than the Heroes team has said ever. Like, the Heroes team has made that a big mystery ball buried in the earth. Like, they don't explain how it works. They don't tell us where all the numbers are coming from. All we know is how rank points work, and when we lose, where that puts us on our actual displayable rank. But my personal MMR and how it's changed from when I was a terrible noob to a pretty average good player now is completely hidden from me and us. And I'm not saying that they have to show us, but it'd be nice if they did.
No, you know? I agree. But let's say your rank actually changes individually for you, and it's not the same for everyone in your team. Mm-hmm. Forget the MMR. Right. Because actually in Overwatch, it's also a rank, which is closely tied to the MMR, but I don't think it's the exact same thing. Right. But let's say in Heroes, you might lose 100 points, you might win 100 points, you might lose, you know, if you lose and you played well, you lose 50.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Would that make it, you know, and the other people in your team lose 100, but you played better, so they're being nicer with you. I think that would make it, that would make me infinitely less salty, I think.
Probably, but it would also make those, you're always going to have people who see that and go, "Bah, he didn't do that. He shouldn't have gotten an extra 20 points. Yeah. I was this or that." So you're always going to have that. But I would love to be able to curb my...
They're not going to see it.
No, I agree. But I would love to be able to... I actually agree with you. I would like to curve my play to be more adherent to knowing that, well, if I took down that fort while all the rest of my team was dead, but I got this one job done while all their guys were down there and hadn't come to kill me yet, but I got that fort, like, I want that to count for something. So yeah, that's not a bad idea. I don't know if we'll ever see it, but I like this idea of saying these other moments in the match where you shielded 3 people in a row as Tassadar and pretty much saved their lives, but you never really get congratulated for that. You never get anything for it.
The problem is that if you start doing stuff like that, they have to be real metrics that make a difference, because you could just be doing stuff that actually really doesn't matter for the team, but tricks the system into thinking you're doing stuff for the team. It's very hard, you know, to judge these things properly.
Yeah.
Like you could say, oh, well, I had zero deaths. Well, you were playing as our tank and you were never in the front.
Yeah, you're never doing your job as a tank.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems like inherent in that system too. Yeah. So it's
but
tough.
That's why I'm saying it needs to be a very complicated algorithm. Yes. Maybe it even needs to be specific to each character, you know, not even to each role.
No, absolutely. But I do agree there needs to be something there because it really sucks to lose in Heroes and lose 200 points and your team was just a bunch of just lunatics and you were playing as good as you could.
That's the thing. The reason you feel so bad is that you feel, and worse in a team game than you do in Hearthstone, is that you feel the control is taken out of your hands.
Yeah,
so
there's nothing I can do.
Yeah. Exactly. So if there's a way, and again, we've said it three times, but we don't know that it would be possible, but if there's a way that your personal performance influences how much you're going to win or lose, I think it's going to be a huge motivation. And of course, it has to be done right to motivate the people to do the good thing, the right thing. But it's a huge motivation for everyone to at least try and play as well as possible. Mm-hmm. And, absolutely. You know, I think that could fix team saltiness for competitive games. At least for me, knowing that it counts in Overwatch, it makes it a lot easier and a lot less. It's a lot easier to say, all right, the team wasn't great, but I did a pretty good job. Sometimes I suck and I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. We lost this one. Kind of, I was responsible for this a little bit.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do a good job and it if the MMR takes it into account, I'm not at all as salty when I lose.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that would be nice
across the board.
It's not an easy problem to fix, though, man.
Especially in Heroes.
These type of systems.
Especially in Heroes, there's just so much shit to do. Like, you may have saved everybody early in the match by taking a wall down casually that you weren't even thinking about shooting. You were just auto-attacking because you were standing there waiting for somebody. And later in the game, like 20 minutes later, the fact that that wall was missing meant the perfect choke or something. And it won the game and the fight that you finally had. And you don't even know that had anything to do with it. Like, I guess what I'm saying is it's complicated.
Every time.
Well, of course
it's not going to work every time. It's not going to work for everything. But if it works for some things, it's better than it not being taken into account at all.
Yeah.
Let me give you a quick example, though. That sometimes you don't even realize that you did something wrong. So yesterday I'm watching Into the Nexus, and they're playing there. And I'm going to pick on Garrett right now. But it's fine. We're friends. He can handle it.
Yeah.
So I'm watching them play their after-show games. And Garrett's playing Johanna, and the other team has the Stitches, and they kill a couple people, and then they're running forward, and Garrett runs directly at the Stitches, who then proceeds to eat Garrett and walk across the other side of their towers.
Yeah.
And Garrett's like, everybody, kill the wall, kill the wall, kill the wall.
Yeah.
And his teammates are like, some of them are killing the wall, and then some of them are killing the towers.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and then he types like, wall? Why didn't you kill the wall? And it's like, well, also you didn't have to run headfirst into a Stitches that had his ultimate up. So there's shades of gray here on whose fault this really was, you know? But like in his mind, his team let him down by not killing the wall in that moment, but he didn't realize like, oh, I actually didn't have to, you know, get eaten by Stitches.
Mm. Yeah.
So like a lot of times like in your mind, you think you're doing something that like I didn't mess up here. I got let down by my teammates, but there's ways around it. And Kyle's amazing when it comes to this because if you watch any of his replays where he looks at people's gameplay, he's always talking about little things like this. He's like, yes, you were trying to do something correct here, but in fact, you made a mistake that you didn't even realize you were making.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff does happen a lot.
And it's
so hard to figure out. Because in that situation,
it's so granular and it's so
Garrett didn't think he did anything wrong. He was being aggressive. He was like, his team was up two players.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do this. But Stitches has his ability up. He can eat me.
It's not just raw data that you can look at. It's subjective as hell.
Exactly. And
you know what I'm hearing?
Shades of gray.
What?
I'm hearing a bunch of quitters. Are you guys quitters or are you Americans? I think if anyone can do it, it's you.
It's us
America. So believe
that's
in
right.
your country. What's this pillow you have behind your head?
We're going to make America great again.
I didn't run into Stitches. Like, I never mess up. Yeah. I play perfect all the time.
Make the Nexus great again. That's what we're saying. All right. We're going to do emails and phone calls next week. We went on a long today, but that's totally fine. We'll save these couple rad calls.
Let's talk about
Yeah, tons to talk about. So I was lying at the top of the show when I said things were slow. There's plenty to talk about. Thank you all for listening. Let's quickly go around the table and tell people where they can find more of what everyone's got going on this week. Dills, where should people be checking you out right now?
I should be going to Twitter at Willie Dills. The twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF is where I stream. And youtube.com/WillieDillsSF as well. Unfortunately, I've been a little bit bogged down with some family stuff, so there's not been as much stuff there as I want to be putting up. But that I've also realized that that makes me feel uneasy when I'm not getting the content out on a timely matter. So that's not going to last much longer because, yeah, I got a lot of I got a lot of ideas brewing. So please go over there and subscribe. There's going to be a huge variety of things, actually. I got a whole slate of ideas all listed out that I'm going to be working on. So it's not just going to be Hearthstone content. There's going to be, I'm definitely going to do some Overwatch and some Heroes stuff. And you'll probably see just me like ranting about things too sometimes.
People like the Dills rants. Dills rants are good.
Yeah. There's a Warcraft movie review that I guarantee a bunch of people here haven't seen because the amount of people who listen to the show compared to the amount of people who have watched that video, there's a huge difference.
It was awesome. I would recommend it to everyone. Actually, I watched it and thanks, really man. Loved it. I thought it was
really good.
You made every point that I wanted to make. So.
Yeah, you did. It was good.
It's from the perspective of a person who really loves World of Warcraft. So
saw it
and
three
I explained
times.
That very thoroughly at the time.
Big disclaimer
up top.
But if you
were a person who listens to the show, you probably identify with that. So
I think so. All right, we'll check all that out. Of course, Patrick's always up to something. Patrick, what's going on?
Frenchspin.com is where you can find the shows I do. It's Pixels if you want video games. And I got into a bunch of discussions about the gray market in the last Pixels. It's super complex and interesting. It was a fun episode. And before that, of course, the E3 episode with Scott. And also the Phileas Club, where we talked a little, we referenced the Brexit a little bit, but we talked about that a lot with someone from Germany, someone from the UK, and someone from Saudi Arabia on the Phileas Club, and that was also super fun. So go to frenchspin.com if you want to hear more and understand what the hell that Brexit thing was.
if you want international destabilization told in the funnest way possible, I think that's the show for you.
There you go. And of course, Overwatchers, if you enjoy Overwatch, that show has been growing like crazy, having a ton of fun doing it with Garrett and Chris. And go check it out. It's Overwatchers. You'll find it everywhere.
Nice. There's always a billion things going on the Frog Pants Network. Just follow me at Scott Johnson on Twitter. And I just put up an Extra Life coloring book for parents out there that may want to give their kids some cool art to color. It's cheap and it's available now. You can go to frogpants.com/store to check that out. Our website is theinstance.net. The Twitter account for the show is @instanceshow. Terpster should be back next time. His Twitter account is the_T. Follow him there. There are more shows like this at frogpants.com, and I recommend them. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, and for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Yeah, my name's Matt. I wanted to call, kind of have an interesting perspective on one of the topics you guys were discussing tonight. I work at ESPN, and I actually have the pleasure of being one of the four editors that works in the esports division. Being that close to it, I kind of wanted to chime in on your conversation about, both Conan and you had mentioned Colin Cowherd, who used to work at ESPN. Yeah, I think it's something to take into account is how much good publicity has come from these things that I don't know if you're kind of seeing them as negative viewpoints on esports as a legitimate sporting fan base. Essentially, Conan, yeah, definitely always been his shtick. It's kind of a combination of self-deprecating humor and kind of poking fun at the things that are a little out there to most people. But at the same time, right after this Clueless Gamer segment starts to become a thing, sure enough, you know, the people start speaking out and they start saying, yeah, we love this. We love that Conan's kind of covering esports. And sure enough, TBS just launched E-League. And at the same time, on our end, one of the huge motivating factors for ESPN actually taking esports seriously was after Colin had made his little rant going out and talking against esports. Right after that, we started really looking into things because of all the feedback we got from ESPN watchers, ESPN listeners, ESPN readers on the website. That being the case, it's a little bit negative publicity, but as they say, no publicity is bad publicity. So, just something to think about. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the subject matter. Oh, also a fun little tidbit. 2 weeks ago, Colin Cowherd actually had discussed on air that he is now looking to invest in esports. So go figure. All right. Love the show, guys. Take care.
Angry orc workers pee on the Horde political process. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. While the Horde's method of settling its arguments and choosing its leaders does lean heavily towards the might makes right approach, it may surprise our listeners on the Alliance side to learn that elections do play a role in Horde governance procedures. The highest elected office in the Horde is the role of Shadow Warchief. Now, this isn't a warchief who practices shadow magic. Rather, it is the creature whose job it is to stay mostly hidden and out of the line of fire, ready to take over in case something unforeseen happens to the sitting warchief. Normally, this election is just a rubber stamp of the Warchief's nomination. But this year is not a normal year. Trade Prince Galliwix threw his top hat into the ring without consulting Vol'jin, running on a campaign to, quote, make the Horde great again, unquote. Although he had no real policy proposals, his bragging and bluster attracted support from a surprisingly large number of orc peons. Political analysts were mystified by the support, with some theorizing that these peons were longing for the feeling of orcish superiority they had during the reign of Garrosh Hellscream. The election was yesterday, and the peon vote carried Galliwix to victory over establishment candidate Sylvanas Windrunner. As shocking as this is, most in Horde society shrugged it off. As one Tauren shaman said, it's meaningless. After all, nothing's going to happen to Vol'jin, right? Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hey there, I'm Mark Conan, one of the hosts of the Tauren Think Tank podcast. Recently, we interviewed Jeff White from Industrial Light and Magic, who was the visual effects supervisor for the Warcraft movie. Here's a clip from that show.
How geeked out was everybody when they learned that you were taking on this project?
Oh, it was so much fun. I mean, you know, Bill Westenhofer is, I forget which character he said he was, but I mean, he was at level 90 before the expansion, and he's put a considerable amount of time into it, and so he was sort of our go-to. Like, anytime we had a question, it's, Duncan had this idea that there would be, he wanted to really embrace this small world idea where if you're standing in one location, you might see two or three other locations in the distance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so all in every shot, you know, we were working with Bill to kind of orient ourselves of like, okay, Goldshire's over here. And then if we're going to get to Black Morass, we kind of go back here and then we should see Swamp of Sorrows along the way. Yeah. It was a lot of complexity.
For the rest of the interview and all of our other shows, check us out at taurenthinktank.com.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.